From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. Here in South Florida, we already have days when rising seas push into backyards and streets, and the effects of sea level rise are not limited to weather and the oceans. Property values, tourism, the fishing industry, development, it's all being affected. The science shows it's likely to get worse, but it turns out there is quite a bit of room for optimism. WLRN's Kate Stein takes a look at what we know and what we don't when it comes to sea level rise.
King tide, they call this one of the highest of the year.
Saltwater intrusion to our water sources and our aquifers.
Tidal flood events increasing to 240
a year
there. These
are the old seawalls. See how low they are? The tide's right at the top of them.
But the storm surge today particularly bad.
But as long as it doesn't reach into the buildings, that's all that matters.
People begin to question investing in a place that doesn't have a future.
I'll swim up to his castle, then Flounder will splash around to get his attention, and then
down
we'll go...
Down here is your home.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
Sebastian the Crab from the Little Mermaid movie says life is better underwater. We humans, no gills, no tails,
It sounds like Armageddon, the end of the world. And so they have two choices. They can either deny it's going to happen because they just, you know, you can't live with the prospects, or they, you know, buy a bottle of bourbon and drive off a cliff.
Ben Kurtman is a University of Miami climate researcher and an expert for communities and leaders from Key West to West Palm Beach who want to know, how doomed are we?
If you think about Arch Creek, right, if you have another 2 feet of sea level rise, there's going to be significant periods of time where that community is flooded. All the time. Two or three feet in South Beach, you know, pumping systems that they have in place are going to be severely challenged. You're going to be looking at several days in October, not just one or two or three or four, but more like 8, 10, 12 days in October, where significant portions of South Beach are dealing with flooding.
With just 2 feet of sea level rise, stronger hurricanes and storm surge, saltwater intrusion into the aquifer that supplies drinking water for 8 million of us, possible human waste leaks from aging septic systems, risks to roads and the Turkey Point nuclear power plant, flooding inland, rising housing costs, particularly in low-income, high-elevation neighborhoods. 2 feet of sea level rise by 2060. That's according to a joint projection from Monroe, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties.
The question is for Ben Kurtman. You began your presentation by saying that basically you're an optimist. So I'm not clear on what it is you're optimistic about.
Paula Johnson doesn't get Kurtman's optimism. She was in the audience at a recent climate change symposium, and she'd just heard 2 feet by 2060, maybe 6 feet by 2100, South Florida is drowning.
Excellent question. So I've noticed a distinct change in public opinion with people insisting that our local governments and our state governments and our federal government take action.
Here's the deal. The reality of sea level rise is harsh, but if we do nothing, it's worse.
We can rebuild new communities of the future for generations to come.
John Englander is an oceanographer and consultant who wrote a book on sea level rise science. He lives in Boca Raton.
The place we grew up, that our family was buried, you know, things like that, that our home may not be there 50 or 100 years from now. So I don't think we should expect that we're all going to get this into our heads quickly. The good news is we do have time to begin adapting.
Scientists don't know exactly how long it's going to take for seas to rise a foot or two or six. The uncertainty has to do with the world's glaciers, how fast they melt, it's getting faster, and when chunks of ice slide into the ocean. Researchers working on South Florida especially have their eyes on the ice in Greenland. Thanks to global climate patterns, melting of Greenland's ice sheet will have a disproportionate impact here.
If all of Greenland melted, that would be 27 feet equivalent sea level rise globally.
Ben Kurtman of the University of Miami.
27 feet is, it's a little bit like the national debt. It's beyond my imagination.
Kurtman doesn't like doomsday scenarios. First, he says with certainty that if you're alive and listening to this today, you are not going to see 27 feet of sea level rise. Second, the maps that show South Florida gradually being swallowed up by the ocean fail to take into account another scientific certainty. We have time to prepare.
These pictures at 2 feet, 3 feet, 6 feet are all on superimposed on maps that imply no adaptation whatsoever. It's half the story. We need to be presenting these results side by side so that people can embrace, oh, okay, I can understand what South Florida is going to look like with 2 feet of sea level rise.
And, he says, understand why we might want tax dollars to go to adaptation projects. Kind of like,
I'm willing to jump on board with a $200 million or $2 billion bond issue to improve South Florida infrastructure.
Communities can decide now on new building codes, where to install pumps or raise seawalls, or parks that double as water storage areas. Leaders can make sure all neighborhoods are included in conversations about which places to give up to the water. John Englander says there will have to be trade-offs.
That's hard because it means that maybe the historic buildings of Miami Beach, you know, you'll have to get snorkels to go visit them, scuba gear.
Kurtman says that's why communities need to be proactive.
I'm confident if we bite off the problem today of figuring out what part of Miami, what part of Fort Lauderdale, what part of Palm Beach we want to invest and preserve, and what parts we're going to have to return to our natural environment, those places will still be communities we want to come and visit.
Sea level rise can be an economic opportunity in two ways: mitigation and adaptation. Mitigation is what can be done to keep sea level rise from getting worse. Even if tomorrow the whole world cut carbon emissions to zero, seas will still rise several feet. It's basically because the planet has warmed a lot already. Glaciers have started to melt, and we don't know how to stop that.
Put a pot of water on the stove and put a chunk of ice in it. Turn the heat up until you see the ice starting to melt. Then turn the heat off. The ice will keep melting because the water's warm. Okay, that's what we've done to the oceans.
John Englander says we should absolutely pursue green buildings and renewable energy and energy efficiency as quickly as possible to keep sea level rise from becoming truly catastrophic.
But we shouldn't fool ourselves into think that the way to prepare for sea level rise or the way to stop sea level rise is to be more energy efficient.
That's where adaptation comes in. Urban planners are beginning to reimagine communities beyond seawalls and pumps. They're thinking about floating houses, parks that can hold excess water, boats for public transit, and parking garages that protect buildings from floods. Some of the architecture and technology hasn't even been dreamed up yet.
It's like going to your doctor and getting some terrible news about an illness. It takes a while to process it. But at some point, we wake up and say, you know what? For our loved ones, life goes on, and we need to prepare for the future.
The whole world is eventually going to have to deal with rising seas. That means South Florida, ground zero for sea level rise, could have an edge in the global economy. South Florida could export its technology, architecture, and scientific expertise. I'm Kate Stein in Miami.
Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMatteo.